I'm going to try and not be lengthy. Brother Jason's not in here. I can't give him a hard time. Amen. Sure appreciate the presence of God that I have felt in the service, not only this morning, but here tonight. As song service was going on, amen. I want my light, my life to be a light. Amen. I want to be that city set up on a hill that's not afraid to be seen. Amen. Sometimes whenever you see that one individual in the grocery store that we know is going to catch us and tie us down, we try not to be seen. We try to pull the fade. Now, don't say that you've never done it, because I might have seen you a time or two in the grocery store and you pulled the fade. We're trying to keep them from seeing us. Now, maybe it's not someone here in this church. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe it's someone you used to work with or a family member that you dislike. You know what they say? You can pick your friends, but you can't choose your family. Amen. You pull the fade. You try to always keep an obstruction between you and them. You always try to be the flash, just a blur. Was that so-and-so? They don't know for sure. We've got to be careful as we enter into this new year that we don't pull a fade on the presence of God. Amen. I'm going to start that off with, before I get into preaching, we're going to turn into Proverbs. Chapter number 29 and verse number 18, just the first portion of this scripture. Amen. Scripture simply says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I want you to look at your neighbor. I'm going to have to be Sister Pepper's neighbor. All right. Look at your neighbor. Now, close your eyes. Can you still picture what they're wearing? Can you still picture what time it was on their watch? Can you still picture exactly how their hair was fixed? Can you tell where that silver hair was hanging? You lose your vision that you had of them because you were not prepared. Now, if we study each other, we no longer look at the qualities sometimes of each other. We begin to look at the flaws. Let me tell you a little secret. God looks down on us and He sees the potential, not the failure. He looks down and He sees the quality that is inside of that rough stone. He looks down and He sees past the problem. And He looks at the promise that He has given you. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, we have to have a vision. Because we all came in here seeing tonight. What would happen if you could go, if you went out and you couldn't see? Would you remember exactly where you parked? Would you remember exactly where that step was? Would you remember exactly what you left in the kitchen floor? Honestly, think about all the different things if you lost your vision at this moment. Could you reach in with Charles to that toolbox and find that specific tool? Well, Donald, could you go over to that shop without hitting your head on anything or tripping over something? Vision is important. Without vision, the people perish. Without vision, we can perish. Whenever your vision is impaired, you stumble over things. Whenever your vision is impaired, that's why most accidents happen, is because there was something else that caught your vision. The reason sometimes we get stopped because we ran through a stop sign is because we weren't paying attention. Our vision was on something else. Reason we don't sometimes hop out and look at all our tires, because that's not what we're thinking about. We get on the road and we got a flat. Our vision is important. Has everybody realized how important vision is? All right, I'm going to do one quick, simple test before everybody sits down. All right. Can anybody tell me what that yellow writing is right there from right here? Brother Matthew? No? That's the red and white word. The yellow wording down here, brother. Pastor, you can't cheat. Pastor has one back there. How about now? Anybody see it? Anybody tell me what that yellow writing says there? Huh? See, there's writing. So we're getting closer. Titus? Oh, you ain't got your glasses. All right, can you see it now? What's that say? Okay. She was able to finally read it when it got to where it was inside of her focus. I want to preach to us tonight on this simple thought. 2020 vision. Amen. We have entered into the year of 2020. But 2020 vision is important. How many of you guys are wearing glasses or contacts? Raise your hand. I can see them on some of them on your face. The reason you have to wear them is because your sight is bad. It's okay. That's why they make glasses, so that they can bring you back to where you need to be. 2020 vision. You can be seated. I'm going to pray here in just a minute. I want to expound on this for just a second. Don't want you all to get weary and fall asleep standing up. Amen. 2020 vision means that you have a normal vision. You're able to see something a certain size of letter, and I could get into all this, and some of you might know this, but from 20 feet, you're able to read all of these words, all of this thing, and you have good vision. Not above average, but you have good vision. It's the perfect vision. Now, there's some people that have 40/20 vision. They can see way better than the rest of us. Now, if it's the other way around, if it's 20/40, that's not good. Because they can only see what you can see at 20 feet. They have to see it at 15 feet. So 20/20, we've got to have good vision. Clarity is important. Now, the reason I'm bringing out clarity is because I picked out Titus, Brother Titus, where he went. He helped me kind of pick this one out. He said, you need to pick one that's kind of fuzzy. See, it's a little fuzzy on this one all the time. It's a little not quite as fuzzy on that one back there. Vision is important. Mark chapter number 8 and verse 22 says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hand upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. This man went from not being able to see at all to seeing something. Isn't that good enough? He went from never being able to see to seeing what looked like trees walking. Trees talking. Now we know where some of them storybook writers got their vision, right here. They had only been touched one time. Sometimes we're satisfied with just being a little bit better. Having perfect vision, you don't have to have it to be able to drive. I read the law earlier whenever I was studying on this, and you can actually have pretty decent bad vision and still be able to pass a driving exam, which really surprised me. Now I know why there's so many bad drivers on the road. It's because the tolerance is way down there. Oh, well, if you can see at least that far, you're okay. Big red sign. You know, Anybody else notice that the stop signs have gotten bigger? The wording on it has gotten bigger. They've added little red LED lights all the way around it. Am I the only one that noticed that? Might be because there's some folks that's got some visual impairments. And they just say, well, we'll just make the signs bigger. I want you to know the Word of God has not changed, will not change, and will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We cannot say, well, we're just going to have to put you a little bit farther over here so that we can be a little more comfortable with where you're at. I'm here to tell you tonight that only being touched once is not enough. It's not enough just to come to the altar and just say, I'm saved. He doesn't want us just to simply have an experience of what it means to be touched by God. He doesn't want us just to simply have that experience of saying, well, I know where He's at. He wants us to have that experience when He's walking with us day in and day out. We know who He is. We know what He's done. We know what He's continuing to do. Amen. We find that He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, He put His hands upon him again and upon his eyes and made him look up. He was looking at men. Christ touched him a second time. And when He touched him, He didn't touch him. And touched his eyes. He let him look up towards the throne room of God. After that, He put His hands on him again, upon his eyes, and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. How important is it to be able to see what you're doing? It's important. Because if you can't see what you're doing, you're going to hurt yourself. That's why it's important that we have a vision for this year that we are stepping into. That it's important that we have a desire and a drive to be better than we were last year. We have a desire to be closer to Him than we were last year. All the things that we went through last year, whether they were good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, were all necessary because we can look back now and say, God brought me through it. It helps us to realize that He was found true. He was found faithful. Amen. And we found, amen, through it all that He was there. Amen. In the midst of the day, in the midst of the night, He was found faithful. He looked past all of our struggles. He looked past all of our failures and said, I will be with you always. He can look down on our circumstances and see them clearly. A lot of times we look through them through a murky glass. Now, everybody has one of these things. Find it here. Cell phone. Now, after you use this screen for a while, eating your cheeseburger, don't quite wipe your hand off good enough, eating your ice cream, some drops on the screen, what happens? It gets dirty. You keep using it dirty. Some of you guys might. It's a pet. I just can't always stand it. See, I get up there preaching, and I'm preaching on my iPad, across my iPad, and I get putting stuff on it, and it bugs me, Brother Jason, big time. To wiping it, how to keep it clean, so I can see, because vision is important. Now, some of you guys don't have to worry about getting stuff on it. You usually just drop your phone and crack it the first week. Because you don't look at it as being important. Oh, well, I'll just get a new screen. I thought that one time. It was $100. And I was like, goose, I'm going to buy a $35 case, the best case I could find, you know, to keep it perfect. What would happen, church? And I'm trying not to meddle here too long. Pastor's wife already accused me of it. I heard her. What would happen if we would realize when at the moment that things started to get fuzzy in our spiritual life, that we got down and seen the eye doctor around the altar. We got down to the one that could check our heart, that could see if there's any wicked way in me. If we could begin to make our way down to a place where we could allow the doctor to examine us and find out if there's anything that needs to be fixed. Amen. He would gladly work on us. He would gladly send mercy and send grace that we might have life. We might have it more abundantly. We've got to begin to have that vision as we go into 2020. Amen. And look at what we've got planned. Amen. Look at our church. We've been growing. Amen. But we can't stop it just saying we've been growing. We've got to begin to get a fresh vision for this year on what God would have you do. Would He have you be more faithful in prayer time? Would He have you begin to be moving around in worship? He wants us to have a new vision. Hallelujah. He wants us to be better than we were last year. Because everything we went through last year led up to this point. Because how many wants to replace all the mistakes you had last year? Raise your hand if you're just excited about mistakes. No. None of us want to go back through it. Sister Cindy, you want to get back on that hoverboard thing again? No, she's done. Done it, got the t-shirt and a couple casts to prove it. Why don't you want to do it again? Because it wasn't fun. We don't want to do those things. Why? Because we've learned from them. Why is it, and I promise I'm fixing to change gears and you're going to love me, maybe. Why is it that when we come to the house of God, I'm preaching to me, if it steps on your toes, come up here and help me. Amen. Whenever the presence of God is trying to push us to the next level, because if we don't move to the next level, it's kind of weird if you go into a kindergarten class and you walk in there and there's a 21-year-old still trying to figure out how to pass kindergarten. The desk, he's outgrown the desk. He eats four times as much as the kindergarten kids do at lunchtime. What would happen? You would say, what is wrong with this kid? Yeah, don't even know how to tie his shoes. I mean, has to have mama pack up his backpack. What would you say? There is something wrong with this individual. It's time to grow up. But yet, we give ourselves a free pass. He said, I'm preaching to me. We give ourselves a free pass. We come to the house of God. The presence of God moves. We're saved. We're trying to live a sanctified life. We've been filled with the Holy Ghost once. Power of God begins to move, and we don't move with it. What kind of vision do we have? We have a blurred vision. Now, I have been hit so hard, Brother Charles, that I've had blurred vision. Me and my brothers used to duke it out. And I have been hit so hard that I've seen spots. Can't tell where you're at, what you're doing, other than you know that whenever you see again, they're dead. Am I the only one that's ever been hit that hard? Huh? Your wife doesn't count, Brother Matthew. We get so disoriented. Don't know where we're at. Or I tell you, if I ever get my vision back, I'm just going to. When we come to the house of God, oh, it'll be okay. I'm just going to stay right here. I know that's where the help's at, but I tell you, the bathroom's sounding pretty good about now. I'm really thirsty. Singing that song got me dry. Talking about back in the Brush Harbor days, they didn't have no water fountain. They had no bathroom out there either. People came. They came for one reason. Their vision was not impaired, Brother Robert. They had one purpose. They all came with one goal. Just as the disciples, when them 120 were gathered together in that upper room, they all came with one purpose. They came with one need. And they came to hear and feel the presence of God, fresh and new, for that promise that was given. I'm here to tell you today, amen, we've been touched by the promise. And if we're not careful, we'll be impaired in our vision. Saying once is enough. I'm here to tell you that we've got to have a weekly checkup in our life. We've got to have a daily walk, not just something once a year. I'm here to tell you, we've got to wake up and get a vision for what God would have us to do. If you have a doctor, that doctor usually requires you to come in for monthly checkups or yearly checkups. But you're supposed to be there for a checkup. Ain't that right? But whenever we have an altar call, which Brother Jason is what? It's a checkup. I just don't know where I'm going to go. I'm not going to go there. Why do we deflect from our checkups? Because we know there is something that's causing a problem. Amen. I got to keep going. I'm preaching way longer than I was meant to. Amen. I'm going to preach the second part of this story. Down to verse number 27. And Jesus went out and his disciples to the town of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, who do men say that I am? And they answered and said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And old big mouth Peter answered and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. Vision. Peter had a vision of who Christ was. He had heard the stories of the promised child that was coming. He heard, no doubt, that scripture from Isaiah where he said he was going to come and he was going to heal, he was going to touch the lame, bring blinded eyes, help them be open, lead the captive free. What Peter had just experienced, no doubt a few hours before, he had experienced where Christ fed over 4,000 people with some fish and some bread. You can read it at home. Amen. Earlier in the chapter 8, that's what he did. And he goes in, and they bring this blind man to him. He touches him. No doubt Peter is thinking of all the things he's heard. And he's seen what Christ has done time and time again. Amen. And he's looking at who he is and what he's done. And we find that he makes the declaration that you are the Son of God. We've experienced Christ touch our bodies. We've experienced Him time and time again, Sunday after Sunday, Thursday after Thursday, service after service, God moving in this place. We know who He is. We know the power that He has. It's time that we get in the boat with Christ. We get a vision for what He would have us to do. Let me ask you a question. Have you got on board with the vision of your pastor yet? Have you got on board with the vision of your Sunday school leader yet? Have you got on board with the vision of your choir yet? Have you got on board with the vision of allowing the presence of God to move you wherever He may? Whether it be in the back corner or the front corner or in the pew. Amen. We've got to be willing to do one thing, and that is to move. Amen. Psalms 150. Amen. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. I want us to notice something. And I realized this when I was reading this scripture. It doesn't anywhere in this portion of scripture say that the presence of God was moving. This is just our duty because of who He is. Keep this in mind. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Not for what He's just done, but what He's done in the past. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. We all came in the flesh. When the music is going, there's nothing wrong with you raising your hands, getting excited. Because when we begin to get excited, we begin to move with the music. We all of a sudden begin to find ourselves tapping into something that we didn't know was there because we weren't pushing for it yet. And all of a sudden we begin to feel after the Spirit. The Spirit of God will meet you if you move. Everyone Jesus ever touched, what was Christ doing? He was moving. I'm on the move. I'm on the move. People heard Jesus was coming. Guess what? They got out of their house. They got on the move to try and get in the path. What did Zacchaeus do? He found the path in which Christ was going, and he climbed a tree. What happened whenever the woman with the issue of blood found out where Christ was at? She got down, and she began to move. We've got to get a vision, amen, of who He is. We must see Him as our Redeemer. We must see Him as our friend. We must see Him as the Father. We must see Him as a brother that sticketh closer than any friend. We got to see Him as the King. We've got to look at Him as our way maker, our light in the darkness, our riding morning star, our victor. Amen. We've got to look at Him as Christ, the anointed one. We've got to look at Him as Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that soon coming King. We've got to have vision, or else our generation will perish. Amen. Psalms 146 and 1 said the Lord openeth, or chapter 146 and verse 8 says, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. And the Lord loveth the righteous. He's looking for us. If we will simply look to Him. Amen. I'm going to close with this set of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, behold, I show you a mystery which shall not, we shall not all be asleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Verse number 53 says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54 says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. How many likes a victory tonight? How many likes to be on the winning side? How many likes knowing that you're the one that's winning? How many likes to be the one that's carrying home the trophy? How many likes to be the one that's got the gold star? MVP, most valued player. That's who I am. Why? How am I? Because I'm with Him. He's my coach. He's my right hand. He's the one that leadeth me by the still waters. Hallelujah. Amen. It's feeling good up here. And verse 55 states this, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why can we have that? Because He hung on a cross and He died. He endured the trial. He endured the pain of death. Amen. Because He had a vision, not of His death, hallelujah, but He had a vision of His return when His children would come home, when He would say, my bride, come on back home. Come be with me forever. Come and worship. Come and love. Come and enjoy the fruits of thy labor. We must have a fresh vision, Church of Calvary, and a new vision of victory here in this year, 2020, as we march on as Calvary Lighthouse Church in our little community, saying who we are and whose we serve. The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of my grandfather, the God of my generation. I will worship, I will pray, and I will sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, stand. Do you have a vision? Do you have a vision? Can you see the cross afresh? As our dear Savior so blessed hung his head, looked down upon earth where those that he had learned to love, that had raised him, that he had taught, that he had shared the truths of the gospel. No doubt, maybe that blind man was there. And he's seen the true vision in which my Christ gave him his vision again. Maybe he was one of the one that was in that group of 120. We don't know. This is just Lucas's speculation. But he had a fresh vision of why he had been given a vision. Don't allow yourself to be satisfied with one touch. Don't allow it to be just once filled, always filled. Because last year, if you got filled with the Holy Ghost last year, that's old. It's time for something new. We're fixing to partake of communion here in just a moment. I want us to try and get a vision for what he done. And as he said, I must go away, that that comforter can come, that can lead you, that can guide you, that can minister to you. How many's been through a hard trial in 2019? Guess what? He was there. It might have felt difficult. It might have felt dark. He was there. And he's still here today. And he's saying, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for it is easy. He's the one that bore the yoke that was meant for my shoulders. He's the one that took the nails in his hands and in his feet so that I could sit down at the table with all of my imperfections and could partake of that salvation and be made fresh and anew. Pastor, if you'd come. Church, prepare your hearts.